Hey guys, this is Alicia with Crime Squared Podcast, and this week we covered our 21st episode, The Skewed Border Patrol Agent, and it also happens to be our first episode of 2022. Enjoy! Hey guys, this is Alicia
and Katie,
and this is episode 21 of Crime Squared.
Woo-hoo. We took a little hiatus.
Yeah,
for the holidays, we both had stuff come up, and
yeah, I definitely needed a hiatus.
And we've both hit by COVID on both of our families. I was first, and then extended family, and now it's Alicia stuck at home.
Yeah. Not a fan.
So, hopefully you guys are not being affected by this Omicron.
Yeah. Stay healthy.
Or what's the new one? Omaflu. It's a combination of COVID and the flu. Like, when are we ever going to get out of this?
You know, I told Jesse and I were talking about this the other day because we've never once said or felt like COVID isn't a thing. Like, obviously, like, it's a thing. People have been mm-hmm. sick from it, have died, whether they have died to COVID or because they had underlying issues, a whole other situation. But if we have been required to wear a mask, we will wear one. We've both been vaccinated because we don't want to get to the point that we can't travel because we're not vaccinated. And he has some older family members that have some underlying issues and we don't want to be the reasons why they get sick type of thing. But in 2020, we made it all the way through. We traveled lots of places. I mean, we went to South Carolina. We went down to Florida. We went to Arizona. We went to Seattle. I want to say we also went to Kansas. Maybe we didn't. We went to quite a few places in 2020. 2021, we traveled a lot as well. And we moved to South Carolina and then came back to Nebraska. Made it all year. The moment we came back to Nebraska, somebody, whether it's Jesse, the kids or I, and my in-laws and myself, have been sick nonstop. It's fucking ridiculous. And now Jesse and I tested positive earlier this last week for COVID. And he lost his sense of taste and smell. And I just thought I had a cold, like I didn't feel anything any different. Tested positive. And then like that night, I went to put my hoodie on and I was like shivering. I've never in my life had the chills. Oh my God, that shit is awful.
Yeah.
I do not recommend that to anyone ever. It was awful. And Jesse was like, yep, here come the sweats. Here come the sweats. I'm like, shut up. Like, just let it go.
I haven't been vaccinated yet, and neither has my husband. My husband won't. I've considered it. I don't know if I'm going to or not yet. I probably will at some point. My whole family has been. But my parents got it super bad. Mike's parents, well, mom got it super bad. And they've all been vaccinated. Mike had it kind of bad. We never tested because we couldn't get any at-home tests down here. They're all sold out.
That's crazy.
And by the time we would have gotten them on Amazon, it would have been like, well, it's over now. So it doesn't matter. Yeah. We just stayed home either way. But if I got it, I only had it for like 2 days and I had like a bad headache and mm-hmm. some snot, and that was it. I didn't have chills. I didn't have anything else.
Yeah.
Lakin had it for like 2 days, had a little cough, gone. But I'm really starting to think, at the beginning they were saying that the O blood type doesn't get it mm-hmm. nearly as bad, because I have O, Lainey okay. has O, Lakin has O.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so that's I'm starting to neat. Believe it, because every time that Mike has gotten sick, we really haven't. Or if we do, it's like a day or two.
Yeah.
That's the mm-hmm. most. We don't get a fever, nothing.
Like, see, that. I don't even want to say that I feel like I am any sicker than when I have like a normal cold or like the flu. I have not gotten the flu shot yet this year. No, I have not gotten it yet this year. Neither Jordan is the only one that has actually gotten the flu shot. But besides the chills, the only difference of any of my symptoms is, I mean, I still feel like I just have a cold. I don't feel Like it's
Right.
like a lot of people said that when they had COVID, like you could tell that it was not what they're normally sick with. And I don't feel like that at all, besides the chills. And I only had it for 2 nights maybe. And now besides just the pounding headache by the end of the day from coughing so hard all day long in my throat with my voice, I mean, I feel fine. I mean,
Yeah, it's
now
just like a
I would
cold.
go to work. Yeah, but I haven't lost my sense of taste or smell or anything. I mean, obviously I'm all stuffed up, so I can't really smell anyways, but I mean, if I put something close enough to my nose right after I blow it, I can smell just fine. But one
Yeah,
of my
we didn't
friends,
lose smell or taste either.
Jesse lost it for a day, like maybe not even 24 hours. And one of our friends, Jamie, shout out to Jamie. I know she listens to the podcast. She loves us. She told me yesterday she's going on 24 days of no taste or smell. What the hell?
See,
No.
I'm really curious as to why some people get that and other people like me, it's like 2 days.
Yeah, that is weird. It's really weird how it affects everybody differently. I mean, and Jamie's pretty, she's pretty healthy and she is very active. So I don't know, it's really shocking, but I know her husband is still having a lot of breathing issues. And of course, the doctor won't give him any medicine because it's COVID related.
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, right? I'm like, so the whole point of me getting COVID tested is just so you can put me on your statistics? Cool. Awesome. So when we did this
Right.
at-home test, you had to download this app and answer some questions about yourself, like your date of birth and, you know, confidential information. And then it came to choose your ethnicity and race and all of that stuff. And I put declined to answer on all of them. Fuck that. I do not want you guys
Why do
knowing
you need to know that?
another Mexican that has COVID. Like, what does that matter? Like, what does that matter? And so I told Jesse, like, you better not mark that shit that you're Caucasian. Don't be marking anything like that. Like all of a sudden I'm very particular about like why do you need to know this information? It's not that I'm trying to be rebellious about it, but what does my race have anything to do with the fact that I got COVID? Because literally the only other Hispanics that I hang out with are my fucking family. So what does that
Right.
matter to you or to anyone else in the fucking world? It drives me
It
bonkers.
doesn't.
I don't like
It's just
being
all a numbers game to them.
yeah. Drives me crazy. And of course, you know, the doctor's office, I tried to call and make an appointment. And since they're having a test shortage, they're
Yeah.
only testing a couple hours here and there. And of course, those couple hours are when I had work meetings and stuff like that. And I was like, I just don't feel like I have COVID, so I'm not going to go. Well, then we tested positive at home. So I called and they said, well, you need to make an appointment to come in and be seen because I called that and the answering service answered. So then I called in the morning and they're like, no, those at-home tests are just as accurate as in-clinic tests. I'm like, they are, huh? They are. Interesting because at-home test was $30 for two and you were going to charge me like 130 each in a
Right.
clinic because I had to see you, but they wouldn't retest us because they said they're just as accurate. But they're like, but you said you both tested positive. I'll make sure to document that. And I'm like, of course you're going to fucking document
My.
that and take credit for it. Oh,
Right.
it's really irks the crap out of me. They're like, and so I asked, does my daughter need to get tested? Well, how old is she? Why does it matter how old she is? Like, you know how old I am, so you know she's a lot fucking younger than me. Does she need to be tested or not? Well, no, if they live in the household with you, I assume you're not isolating or sending her away anywhere. The
How
fuck am
can
I
you?
gonna
It's my child.
send my kid
Like,
anyway?
what?
Even like Jordan's daycare provider, I was trying to ask her what their COVID policy was, and she said because he's in the infant room and the classroom is still open, we still have to pay 50% of his tuition, which is fine. I mean, I understand that they need to get paid and stay open and whatever. But then she's
Right.
like, you got to quarantine for four, he has to quarantine for another 14 days after you guys. And then he goes, I was like, oh, that fucking sucks, dude. So now I'm gonna be out of work for another 2 weeks and he's just gonna be comfortable with you guys. So we're gonna start all over again. Like, this is stressing me out. And she was like, I understand. I understand. She's like, this is a stupid question, but the CDC says if you are able to isolate, I'm like, nah, girl. I'm not isolating from my son just so he can go back to daycare sooner. She goes, I know, I just thought I'd throw that out there. I was like, I mean, I appreciate it, but like, who comes up with this shit? Like, sure, let me just isolate from my kids, my
Right,
preteen
CDC.
daughter.
What are you
Yeah,
thinking on
like,
that one?
do you not have family? Like, what is wrong with you?
Are you all childless? Like, what,
We
how does.
want you to stay home, don't go to work, don't socialize with anyone, and don't be involved with your family. Cool. Got it. Got it.
Like, are you trying to make suicide rates go up this year? Next year? The year after that? Like, you need to
Yeah.
figure something out.
Well, and yesterday during lunch, like, Nana and I have been getting along really well, but there's a couple moments here and there, like with working with her homework. She doesn't understand math, so trying to get her to be more open-minded about it, she gets really frustrated. And so Jesse goes, "Man, I've had it. I'm gonna go down to the bar." And I'm like, "Oh my God, don't leave me alone with her." Totally kidding, but she looked at me like, "Mom." I'm like, "I'm just kidding. I don't mean it."
Kind of.
Oh man, it just cracks me up. I'm like, I don't mind being home with the family. I mean, yesterday we all wiped down the glue from the wallpaper, the hideous smoke-infused wallpaper that was in our bedroom, so we could
What?
paint it because my mother-in-law was a freaking saint when we picked up our paint. So we've been doing projects here and there, all together. It's
Well,
been
that's
really
nice that
nice
you can work
to
on that.
see. It's been nice to just be lazy. Jesse always gives me a hard time even about groceries. Like when I'll go to the store and I say I'm gonna buy stuff for one meal, but I buy it all in bulk. And he's like, "Why do we need this much?" I'm like, "You don't know when all of a sudden we just don't want to fucking leave the house or can't leave the house. And then we're gonna
Ba
have to
ba
find somebody to
ba.
bring groceries. And now look." And he goes, "Babe, we have plenty of food." I'm like, "But is it enough? Because I know you're gonna go through all the munchie foods like the first night." And sure enough, he went through all the munchie foods like the first night.
That's why God made Instacart.
Yep, I downloaded the app, but I haven't done anything with it. I don't know if
I did
that's
it.
really in Hastings.
I bet it is.
I would think so, but even DoorDash has like six places, and all of their delivery time is like an hour, so I haven't done any of that. But we bought food and stuff for a lot of our friends when they had COVID early on, both years. So I'm like, I'll just reach out to them. But yeah.
Hey, you remember when I brought you food? Can you bring me some food?
Yeah. I'm like, really? I just need vodka and diet tonic water and probably
And
a bunch of cheese
tacos.
and banana. Yeah. And tacos. I'm actually gonna make flautas in the air fryer this weekend. I'm kind of excited about it. Have you ever
Ooh.
had flautas? I think, is that what you had anywhere when you came in South Carolina? At that Mattoon restaurant? And corn tortillas or flour
Flour
tortillas.
tortillas. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and make those in the air fryer. We watched Queer Eye the other night, and they made chicken, cheese, and bean flautas, I think,
Ooh,
in
that
the air
sounds good.
fryer. And usually, I mean, a bunch of tortillas for one meal is not very healthy, especially the way flautas are normally made when you fry them in oil. So
Yeah.
he made them in the air fryer, and I bought one right before Christmas when we were at John and Jody's. And I'm like, "Oh, like I haven't used the air fryer yet, so I'm gonna use it tonight." And I'm so fucking excited about it. I'm so excited.
If y'all hear a baby, Lainey is playing on the ground because my toddler is having a moment and he's outside with his father. So I have Lainey in here with me. She'll
I'm
probably fall
surprised that
asleep
you
soon, though.
don't have some type of a little fence thing, because one of these times when Mike and Lakin are outside working, if Lakin asks Mike a question and does not like Mike's answer, Lakin is just going to take off and Mike's going to have no idea.
I mean, he runs around front all the time, but he only ever runs around front and rings the doorbell. He rings the doorbell and's like, "Mama, let me in. Mama, mama, mama. Like, for the love of God, I know my name. What?"
All right, you guys. So I figured I'd start my first story this year a little, I don't want to say easy, but a little lighter than when we started last year. I came in kind of high. I should have eased some people into
With all the
it.
fucking cannibalism, let's not do that.
I told some of my coworkers about that we have a podcast, like, "Oh, that's so cool. What is it about?" And I was like, "It's literally called Crime
Murder.
Squared. So anything related to crime and like murders and anything." And they're like, "Oh, what kind of stories have you covered?" I'm like, "Actually, apparently my specialty has been cannibalism." And they're like, "Oh, shit.
Maybe we don't
Okay."
want to be friends.
Then they were like, "Have you heard of this guy and this guy?" I'm like, Yeah, I have. I've heard of all that." And I'm like, "Have you heard?" And then I pull up my spreadsheet, because I have a spreadsheet of like all the ones that I've really listened to that I've really liked from other podcast stories. And one of them that's my favorite that Christine and M covered in And That's Why We Drink, The Smiley Face Killer.
Oh, that one got
and
me.
So I was talking to my coworkers about it, and I'm like, that's really fucked up. What else happened? And we keep going and talking about it, and they're like, you don't even look fazed by it. I'm like, hey,
not.
This is old school. This is old news now at this point. But yeah, it's just real fucked up. All right. So this week I am covering Juan David Ortiz. I named this one the Skewed Border Patrol Agent because that was his title. I mean, that's what he worked as. He was an intelligence operator for about 10 years, and he's actually a U.S. vet. He served one tour in Iraq. I don't think he saw any combat, and I don't really know how long his tour was. I don't know if there's really a base for how long a tour is. I'm assuming there is, but I really don't understand all of the lingo with military stuff.
I don't.
As I was reading this, I'm like, man, kudos to him. Like, that's awesome. Like, and because a lot of people, when they leave, the military service, they don't really, unless they're joining, being a policeman or something like that, they do something that's like way off guard.
From that, like, civilian, yeah.
My husband was in the Coast Guard, and I mean, not that he can do anything with the Coast Guard in Nebraska, but the job he has now is nothing related to any of that stuff. But so I was reading, I'm like, man. Yeah. I was reading his art, all of his stories and just any information about him. And as I was going, like, they talked a lot about all of his, like, how smart he was and whatever. And then I got to, like, the shit he did. I'm like, the fuck is wrong with you? Because he didn't have any write-ups. He didn't get any trouble. Like, he was just known as a stand-up good dude. Like, he was known as Doc Ortiz. Like, he was just an all-around good dude. He was married. He had three kids. He was really smart. He had degrees from the American Military University and St. Mary's University.
To cover up.
Yeah. But, I mean, we'll get into a little bit more, but a lot of the times, like, when they leave the military service, usually they have some type of PTSD and something happens that just triggers like a bad part of them to come out. And it's really hard to put that part away. He didn't really have any of that. And he told multiple people that because he didn't see any combat, that he doesn't really have anything to be scarred from except for leaving his friends and family while he was gone. I'm like, okay, so, like, I could see that. I mean, if that's the hardest part about it, I don't consider you really traumatized by any means. But that didn't stop him. So his crimes all took place within a 2-week span. I want to say it was like 12 days, 12 to 14 days. It was in Texas, September of 2018. So he apparently had a hatred for any type of sex worker. And his goal was to clean up the streets. I'm not sure why he had a hatred for sex workers, but he also apparently had an issue with, I guess I should probably say, trigger alert for a lot of this. So four of his victims were sex workers that were females, and one was a transgender. So not only did he have a lot of hatred for sex workers, anyone that questions their identity as they are growing up, he had an issue with. So his first victim was Melissa Ramirez. She was 29, a young mother of two. He picked her up on the side of the road. And I mean, no shade for any sex workers. Like, you do you, boo. Seriously, as long as you're being safe, you go for it. She was working, I want to say it was like San Bernardino or something like that. A very common street in Texas for prostitution and drugs and all of that type of thing. He had picked her up and they knew each other. Yeah, like, well, hello. I see a little link going.
She's about ready for a nap.
Keep going.
So he picked her up, and I thought it was really interesting that he had hatred for sex workers, yet he was out picking them up. But didn't last very long when he was
using their services.
You know, I didn't. Excuse me. Bear with me. This is the most I've talked in a while. I never saw anywhere that he actually utilized their services. I think it was more like they would just chit chat and probably drink a little as they were getting to their destination. I also questioned a lot when they would get into his vehicle, if it was his personal truck or if it was his border patrol agent truck or vehicle, I should say, because you think that'd be pretty sketchy to watch sex workers get into a border patrol vehicle and for them to always be patrolling, you know, come by like a regular type of thing.
Yeah, so, I would think that they would be like, no, capo, I'm not going.
But if he was a regular, and I mean, he knew two of these victims. Two of them he knew, and two of them were friends of those two. So, you know, if they all told each other, you know, hey, this I've seen this guy multiple times, he's good. I know he comes by in his work car, but don't worry about it. That could be a situation. I mean, we all know corrupt officers that do shit like that. Or
what year is this?
2018.
Oh, so they definitely, if it's a work car, they definitely have cameras and shit in there. I would, if I was a sex worker, I would not get in a border patrol.
Right?
That's kind of where I thought like a bad idea.
That's why I thought it was his personal one, especially because later on, the way that they described it, it was just plain black. So maybe it was like an undercover one. Oh, and a lot of the times, undercover vehicles, I mean, you can buy those even at like a junkyard now.
Yeah, when we went to go visit my parents in like the Dallas area,
mm-hmm.
we saw undercover cop cars all the time. And there was like a Ferrari was one of them, because it's all of the ones that they like possess and like drug busts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They just use them as the undercover cop car, because you wouldn't think, oh, a Ferrari's coming up behind me. Oh, yeah. I'm going to get pulled over. No, they're going to pass me. You wouldn't think, oh, like, that's a cop. Well, I need to like slow
watch
down.
Out for this one. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not my first thought.
Well, he, with Melissa, he took her out into a gravel road and must have gotten into some type of argument. I don't know. She had told her mom not too long before she met up with this gentleman that she had this eerie feeling that she was going to be killed soon.
Oh, that's weird.
She made some type of notion of her hand in the shape of a gun up to her head and like pulled the trigger type of thing. And sure enough,
damn,
she was found on the side of the road by a rancher. She had been shot in the head once.
So she knew.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that when you're a sex worker, you always kind of get those, I don't want to say bad clients, but definitely not a very
heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, definitely not a good situation sometimes. And people that just feels off, especially because I'm sure a lot of those clients, I don't want to say don't have lives, but maybe.
It's either like a second life that they're doing like this, or they're just like lonely, I guess.
Yeah, like they have troubles forming their own relationships type of thing, and so maybe by having a sex worker be with them, is even though they have to pay for it, it's a little more calming or satisfying. I don't really know how to use some good verbiage there, but
good companionship.
So yeah. Okay, so then victim number two was Claudine Luera. She was 42, and she was a recovering drug addict. She had a troubled childhood due to some issues that she's never spoken about from, I think she was like 5 or 6. She never did talk to her siblings about what it is that had happened to her, but they could just tell that at that time something like a switch was flipped and she was just a different person. And it's crazy that they can remember all that even from when she was 5 or 6 years old, because I can barely remember when I was 5 or 6. Like,
right.
Like, seriously, I struggle to remember anything like from elementary school half the time. But
Dude, I don't remember 2 years of my life being pregnant. Like, and I
yeah,
was a
I feel
grown
you.
ass adult.
And so very early on, she actually had five of her own kids removed from her custody.
Oh my God.
Her troubled past and then being a recovering drug addict. She really wanted to get clean for her kids, but I mean, addiction is real and she struggled with it. She was, even though she had five kids of her own that were no longer in her care, even out on the street, she was type of like the mother hen for all the other sex workers. She's 42, so she was quite a bit older than most of the sex workers.
Yeah, that's insane.
She was known as a sweetheart. I mean, she would frequent the local gas station and would always come in every morning and get her same like little slushy thing and her same little breakfast. And she made chit chat with the workers. Like, she was just a sweetheart to everyone. She was actually really good friends with Melissa. And after hearing what happened to Melissa, she said that she was starting to get real sketched out about being out on the street. And she had told her family members at some point that she actually was starting to fear for her own life. So why she got in the car with Juan, I have no idea, because a lot of people were saying, don't get in the car with the person driving or with the guy driving this black truck or whatever the description was. Mm-hmm. So maybe he forced her into the truck or she just really wanted to ask him if he knew anything about it. But while she was in the truck with him, she apparently started questioning him. I think it started out as they were just talking about her friend's disappearance and that, you know, they found her body and she had been shot in the head once. And then it became like an argument. Like, I think he started probably getting defensive and felt like she was coming at him, which obviously she had every right to do that.
Right. He was involved in it and she was trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And obviously he was guilty. Otherwise he wouldn't have done anything that he has done or will continue to do here. So he actually shot her multiple times in the head. So she went with him early in the morning, like right before the sun came up. She didn't pass there though. Like, she had been shot like multiple times. And from the multiple articles that I read, the amount of times she was shot, her head should have been just completely gone. So how she survived and was able to crawl to the middle of the road where some truck driver pulled over and called authorities. She passed later on that afternoon, but the truck driver pulled over and found her, called deputies, and somehow a deputy pulled up like real freaking quick. And it was like sketchy how quick he showed up. But as the cop was pulling up and that truck driver was kind of flagging him down, that dude turned around real fucking fast and left. So the cop didn't even make it. Like, he had to call, this truck driver had to call authorities again to get another police deputy out there. So
that's
super
weird.
Sketchy. No one ever, I didn't see anywhere that anyone confirmed that it was this Juan guy that came up, because he had a little kid in the car. So I wonder if it was one of his kids and he was just like close to the area and happened to go over, but it was just really sketchy timing. But I didn't see any follow-up. I think that was just kind of a coinkadink. So then the next one was Griselda Alicia. She went by Chelly and she was 35. And so one of his victims had actually escaped. So she was a victim, but she got lucky. She didn't really, she fought with him, but she didn't die. Obviously she continued on. But after this gal, Erika Peña, after she escaped and contacted local authorities, which we'll go back to a little bit, he picked up another girl like hours afterwards. And
he wasn't satisfied. He didn't get his fix.
Yeah. Well, I think he kind of started to panic and he was like, oh shit, like she's going to rat me out. So I got to go get my last two fixes in or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So this gal, Griselda, she was hardly ever in trouble. She carried all her belongings with her in this cute little satchel. And she actually wasn't discovered until the following day. No one even knew she was missing until he was arrested. And then he started like just spilling like all the details about each murder. I mean, and he only had four, but I mean, that he still described everything to a T and was able to
forward
in my precise location. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So obviously he panicked and got sloppy because he didn't even drive very far from that same road where he was picking up all the other girls. Usually he would kind of travel out a little ways on those gravel roads. This time he just pulled over right next to a bridge and a train track. And I think the further south into Texas that you go, there's train tracks like everywhere you look. And so he said that he thought he'd be okay. No one would hear any gunshots or anything like that because it was just so common between the train always passing by and the busy bridge with, you know, cars and traffic and whatever. You know, hearing a gunshot is just like anything else.
You would just think it's like a mechanical issue with the train or something like that.
Exactly.
Or a car
backfire. Which is really sad to say. I mean, here in Hastings, if you hear a gunshot, you fucking know it's a gunshot because, I mean, yeah, it's not like you hear it every single day, you know? We're not in the hood here.
Not by any means, just the country.
So she was shot in the head multiple times, and she was actually also bludgeoned. I guess she didn't die right away from her gunshot wounds, and he was impatient, so he struck her with a heavy object right in the back of the head. So his next victim, Janelle Niki Enriquez Ortiz, was 28, and she was friends with Melissa and Claudine, and she was actually, I mean, they all prayed to different saints. I want to say it's Saint Michael, that's like a protector of all, is who Claudine really prayed to a lot, especially because she was like that mother hen, and she was the one that had the most kids out of all of this group of girls. But Janelle prayed to the Santa Muerte for protection, and she even had a skull face tattoo on her shoulder, which was actually how she was identified, because her head and her face were so dismembered from the gunshot.
Deformed.
Deformed. So her father had actually started to fear for her life very early on, because not only was she a sex worker, she was the one that was transgender. And so as she was growing up,
attacked more.
And as she was growing up, I guess her dad said that she was always super special and didn't quite know why. And then once she decided she was going to transition, he started to fear for her a lot more. And a lot of people would get really upset with him because he would refer to her as him, or I get confused with her. Which one is which. Yeah. And so people thought that he was just like belittling her, but it was just that he didn't want people to know because she was a sex worker, and he knew that people would be after her a little bit more. So he just really feared for her. I mean, that's, being a sex worker is dangerous in itself, especially if you're working on a street where prostitution and pimps and stuff like that is very common. I can't imagine being a transgender and people having a whole other level of hatred for whatever fucking reason. Tell me why that affects you. But so he had a really hard time with that. So then when they found that she had passed, that was really tough for both of her parents and their family. And they had actually found out about her on the news when Juan was being arrested. One of the officers that showed up on the scene was very much into social media and blasting things like that.
Information so that should not be shared until the family knows.
Yeah. And so the family was watching it on social media and realized that this was really close to where their daughter was working. And then like hours later, they found out that it was their daughter that had died recently. And so that was really sucky to read. I can't imagine a family like seeing all this and then later on being like, holy shit, that was my fucking kid. Oh my God. That would be awful. That would just be awful.
I would probably sue the police department.
I'm sure that that is very common in places like that down south. I mean, a lot of corrupt, I don't want to say corrupt cops, because I know that they're supposed to keep things confidential, but if they're not releasing names or anything, I mean, I don't even know that they had said that there was fatalities or anything. I mean, that they were just, you know, saying that there was a standoff and they were looking for this guy, and then the family was kind of putting two and two together, and then all of a sudden, you know, figured out that it was related to their daughter. So Erica Pena actually knew, like personally knew Juan. Their families were very close. So I guess she got in the car with him, not so much like to work, just kind of bum a cigarette and drive around and drink a little bit and catch up on each other's lives type of thing. And I guess she also started to begin questioning and then discussing and then kind of pointing it at him that her friend Melissa had gone missing and then showed up dead and down the line type of thing. She dropped her phone in his pickup and went to pick it up and noticed that there was a gun, which I guess she was not surprised by any means, but then he started to feel like she was really blaming him for the murders of these other gals. So he went to like reach for her shoulder and She didn't like it, so she pulled away. She shimmied out of her shirt and literally got out of his pickup and took off down a road and was running in her, like, her clothes, but her shirt was off. So she was literally running around in her bra and whatever pants or whatever she had on, and luckily found a deputy that was at a gas station really close by and told him, you know, this dude's trying to kill me and I think he's the one that killed these other girls. And at that point, he knew that his cover was blown. I mean, he had tried, even after Erica escaped, he still kidnapped two more girls. It was like Risella and Janelle. So those two were kidnapped and then murdered right after Erica took off. So within hours of his victim taking off. Wow. So then the cop was like, well, you know, we kind of been looking for somebody of that description. So took her down to the station and she gave her full report. Within minutes of her finalizing her report, there were deputies out looking for his pickup and looking for him. And so they happened to find his truck in like a parking lot or a parking garage of some cheap motel. And he was hiding underneath one of the vehicles. And after some digging and some manhunts and all that of all of the vehicles and the motels and anything nearby, he finally came out and he was using his phone like a shotgun towards cops, like hoping that they would just shoot him. But they had already been to his house and saw that he had purchased a crap ton of guns and a crap ton of ammo. So he was literally wanting to die suicide by cop. He was just trying to stage it a little bit. I don't know why. I mean, he straight up took four women and killed them. I don't know how he thought he was going to get away with it, but he used the same gun on all of the girls that he killed. Unfortunately, they all died by, you know, gunshot to the head. But because Erica was able to escape from his whatever the fuck he was trying to do, because he said he wasn't trying to kill her. I don't know why you were trying to yank on her shirt if you weren't trying to kill her, but okay. I guess I don't want to understand how his brain works that way, but thankfully he won't be doing that anymore. Last I heard his and read from all the articles that I saw, they kept pushing off his trial because of COVID. So mm-hmm. they were supposed to have a sentencing in September of 2021. For some reason, it got pushed off again, but he is facing capital murder for all four victims and attempted kidnapping and a couple other charges for Erica that was able to escape. But so far, he has maintained of not guilty. If he is convicted, he will face the death penalty. But he was actually arrested and apprehended on September 15th of 2018. I haven't seen any update on when his next court date is. But his wife hasn't cooperated at all with police. At some point, his wife and kids left him. And so his house was just completely abandoned except for whatever ammo and like little belongings he had. But his wife hasn't cooperated at all, but she continues to visit him in jail. He admitted, like, right away when they arrested him, he had like a 9-hour interrogation where it wasn't even interrogation. They said, can you confess so we can record it? And he did not stop talking for like 9 hours. Gave every single detail, talked about their hair, what they were wearing. Like, I mean, granted, you know, if it's all happening in 12 to 14 days, everything's probably still pretty fresh. But it was during the day, he was 100% sober. And he said that he struggled with PTSD, but that they tried to give him medication and he didn't want to take them because it made him feel too loopy. So he was 100% like with it when he was doing all of this stuff. So at one point the judge,
he says he's not guilty.
Yeah. Even though he literally confessed to it all. But he says that he's not guilty because he was doing his job as a border patrol agent and was cleaning up the streets because sex workers and transgender people are not worthy of having life.
I'm sorry, like, what?
You were friends with these people. And what does somebody being transgender, why does that affect you?
It doesn't. Like, just
don't go towards their bubble. Like, stay away from their bubble.
Right.
People don't like that just drive them. Me freaking bonkers. Oh, but
if they're not hurting you or themselves, what does it matter?
Yeah,
let them do them. Yeah. You do you.
And it made it even more eerie when he was giving this 9-hour confession. he showed absolutely no remorse. Like, he was just like, yep, so this girl, like, I did this and this and this, and then this happened, and this is what we discussed, and this is what she was wearing, and this is where it happened. Like, no remorse. He was very detailed, and he was just very composed. Like, he wasn't uncomfortable by any means. Like, he legit thought that he was doing this to better the world. Like, don't you go through training that says you can't kill people to make the world a better place? Like, there's training on this. I mean, even when I was working in parole, I was never, they made it very clear that I can never, I don't want to say strike first, but I have to wait until they get aggressive with me before I can even defend myself. But I'm only to defend myself. I cannot inflict any harm. I cannot do any of this. Like, there's a lot of fine lines. I can only imagine how strict they are as a border patrol agent on what you can and cannot do. And I'm pretty sure killing people is on that cannot do list. But I may be wrong. If somebody knows something else about it, let me know.
Yeah, that's a little sketchy. And the fact that the wife isn't willing to cooperate, that seems even sketchier.
And girl, your husband confessed to kidnapping four sex workers and killing them, like gunshot to the head, killing them. And you're visiting him in jail? What is wrong with you? And they knew two of these girls, like their families were close. Like, does that not like strike an extra little nerve? Like,
Right, I would be like, I've been married to this man and he did what? Like, that could have been me.
But everybody was very adamant that because he didn't have any trouble or anything when he was in the military, that means he can't ever do anything wrong, especially because he was completely sober. And he told them, yes, I've been diagnosed with PTSD, and they prescribe some medication, but I won't take them because it makes me too loopy. So he's literally telling you that he voluntarily did all of this, and you're still visiting him in jail. Like, what kind of
Yeah.
a bitch are you? Oh,
How
just really like it.
do you explain that to your children too? Like, oh, daddy killed sex workers, now he's in jail.
Yeah, like
Like,
that's not okay.
no. And I can't imagine she wouldn't be taking her kids to see him if she's okay going to see him, which makes it even worse.
Let's have family day in jail, guys. Yay!
Yeah, I could not. No,
I think we
that
both
I
talked about this before, that we would not visit. Like, if our husbands did some fucked up shit like that, divorce would be happening like immediately. Not
yeah,
none of
here are the
this.
papers. We're done.
I'm not gonna stay by your side until the judge decides, because if there's any doubt that you did any of this, I'm out. I'm out. And I don't want our kids associated with you whatsoever, because if you have that messed up cell somewhere in there, that means it could spew down to my child, and the less that you have to interact with my child, the better. Like, we don't need that
Right.
type of lifestyle whatsoever.
No, that's insane. Like, the only time I think that I would be okay with something like that is if someone hurt my kids
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
and they were protecting them or like
Which
tried to hurt me or something like that.
even in that case, I mean, if I knew some shit happened, I mean, I'd want to go after them, but at that point I would just call the cops and be like, yo, my kid just said this happened. You do your job. Whereas if I walk in and see that shit is happening, there's no stopping me. Like, you are in my house or whatever, you know, if it's in my control, that's a whole nother situation. But it's not like I'm gonna go hunt someone down either. Like, at some point you also gotta be able to pick your battles a little bit there, because if you go after them in their home, that's a whole nother situation and you could be charged with shit, you know?
Right. If they don't do anything with it, that's a whole nother situation though. If
Lot of
they
fine
let
lines.
that person walk free, then
Better not let
I
me
can't.
catch you outside.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, if I see you even like a toe on my property line,
Well.
I will. Bye bye, Charlie.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks that way, but
No, for
I mean,
sure. And that's just kind of how like I was brought up.
yeah.
Like it is what it is, but
That's tough
all right.
stuff. I mean, I'm happy that I went with an article that was a lot lighter, but it still really sucks, because I feel like a lot of people shame sex workers, and I have never been want to shy away from a strip club or anything like that, very vocal about it, I don't care. And even with transgender people, I was reading all of his victims and reading about them, and then all of a sudden I come across one that's transgender. I'm like, why the fuck does that matter? Like, I love everyone equally. If you're nice to me, I'm nice to you. I don't care who you are, what you label as, what color you are, nothing.
Right.
I don't care. Be nice, and I'm going to be nice back. That's all there is to it. So for people
all
to be like,
to know.
Yeah, for people to be like, oh, well, first of all, they're a sex worker. I already hate them. And they're transgender. Hate them even more. Like, I'm sorry.
Why does that matter to you? Like
that literally does not impact your life at all. At all. I don't know. Stuff like that just really irks me. And it doesn't help that I've been watching a lot of Queer Eye now that there's new episodes out with Jesse. And every episode, I'm just like, oh, I just want to love them and, like, hug them even more. Like, I cannot imagine how they feel when they have such negativity in their life. And Jesse's like, oh. And, I mean, I think that's the first show that I actually, like, saw Jesse, like, cry. And it was, like, the very first episode of it. And, like, seeing how constrained they feel their whole lives, and then all of a sudden, like, they figure out what it is that they need to change to make them truly happy, and then to see them like glow, like, oh, just makes me so happy. But you know, there's a lot of people like that in the world. They just feel trapped in their bodies, and instead of spreading so much more hate, fucking love them. They need more love.
Yeah.
And vodka probably, but you know, more love.
I haven't watched that show. I haven't watched a lot of new shows.
It is a great show. It is a great show. On that note, that's what I got for you guys.
Ooh.
We will see you all in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Bye.
You can find our socials on Facebook and Instagram. And if you don't mind taking a minute and heading on over to Apple Podcasts and giving us a review and subscribe, we'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you.